Now, back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. There's a star.
Derek Gould will be with us on site at Patio's on his way to the ballpark, talking Cardinal baseball. A lot better topic these days, having won six in a row. Derek's a really smart guy. He will not be our smartest guest of the day. In fact, none of us will qualify because we have a retired NASA astrophysicist. Fred Espenak is with us, but you might know him better as Mr. Eclipse. Mr. Eclipse, can I just call you that, Mr. Eclipse? How are you?
Oh, how about just Fred?
Just Fred. Okay, Fred. Although your website is MrEclipse.com, and I was reading and it said you got the eclipse bug in 1970. So you're not just hopping
That's
on
right.
the bandwagon this time around.
Oh, no. No, this is a lifelong passion.
All right, so what do our listeners need to know about August 21st, specifically in the St. Louis area?
Well, the St. Louis area is a little bit tricky because the path of the total eclipse cuts across the city, and you want to make sure you're on the south side of it. You really want to go online and get yourself a detailed map, and you can find that just by Googling, 2017 eclipse maps. And the further south you go, the longer the eclipse lasts. If you're right on the edge of the path, it's only going to last a second. I also want to say that some people might say, well, it's going to be a 99% eclipse right here in my home backyard. Why should I drive 20 miles down the road to see the total eclipse? There is an enormous difference between a 99-cent partial and a 100% total. A couple of ways I can bring that home. It's like the difference between almost winning the jackpot and winning the jackpot. In the first case, you lost. If you see 99%, you've really missed the whole show. It's 100% or nothing for a total eclipse. Because if you get down into the path of totality where the eclipse is total, that's where you'll see daylight dwindle into this very eerie twilight, and you'll get to see the sun's outer corona, which is spectacular and beautiful. But you only see that if it's a total eclipse and not a partial eclipse.
So, Fred, how rare is this total eclipse? How often does this happen?
We actually have a total eclipse every 1 to 2 years, but each one of these eclipses is only visible from a very tiny fraction of the Earth's surface. For instance, this eclipse this summer, in 2 weeks, is only visible from about a quarter of 1% of the Earth's surface. That is the total part of it. It's a very narrow track called the Path of Totality, and it's only about 70 miles wide. And if you're not inside that path, you don't see the total eclipse. You only see a partial eclipse.
And where will you be on eclipse day?
Well, I could be anywhere between Idaho and Missouri. But my destination is Casper, Wyoming. But I'm going to wait and see what the weather forecast is while I'm in Casper the day or two before the eclipse. And if it looks like the forecast for Casper is good, I will stay there. If not, I'm ready to travel east or west 1,000 miles to get into a better forecast area.
Now, do people need any kind of eyewear? And what about taking I'm sure a lot of people are going to try and take some cool pictures. Is that something you'll be doing?
Sure. Well, for eye safety, the best thing is to pick up these inexpensive cardboard eclipse glasses that you can even find in some of the supermarkets and hardware stores. They're only a buck or two apiece, and they're perfectly good for watching the partial phases. Now, when the eclipse goes total and the sun is completely covered by the moon, then you take those eclipse glasses off and you look at the corona and the total phase of the eclipse with the naked eye. The other thing that's good to watch during the total phase when the sun is completely covered is a pair of binoculars. Between those two, the solar filters for the partial phases and the binoculars for totality, you'll be set. Make sure you've got a comfortable picnic basket or, and a and a chair or a blanket and spread out and enjoy the event.
So, Fred, in all your years, you said back to the 1970s, studying, seeing eclipses, what's the coolest eclipse you've seen and why? What made it so cool?
Boy, one of the most special ones was an eclipse in India back 20 years ago in 1995. And that was a very short eclipse. It was only about 41 seconds long, but it was on that particular trip where I met this woman who had never seen a total eclipse. She'd been trying to see one for 25 years and had been clouded out several times. And to make a long story short, we ended up getting married. So I met my wife at a total solar eclipse in India. Been to every total solar eclipse with me since.
Make
then,
sure you're there.
This year.
Yeah, this would be the perfect time, though, to get all your eclipse information. We mentioned this earlier, retired NASA astrophysicist. What did you do for NASA?
I worked with a group of scientists who were developing instruments to study the planets from Earth using large telescopes. It's a sort of a $5 word called an infrared heterodyne spectrometer. But basically what we did was we looked at the infrared light from the planets and were able to determine their chemical composition and the physics going on in their atmospheres.
So are you a fan of all of this Mars discussion that we're going to be taking, you know, shuttle planes to Mars? Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, I still think most manned space flight for extended periods like that is awfully expensive. We can do an awful lot of excellent research using unmanned probes. But the problem is those aren't as sexy and glamorous, and you can't get as big funding for projects for the unmanned probes as you can with a manned mission. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. You get a bigger bang for the buck doing strictly science, unmanned science missions, but it seems like you almost have to have a manned mission in order to get the politicians behind it and supporting it financially.
The late 60s into the 70s, sort of, you know, the heyday awareness of NASA and all the trips to the moon and, you know, competing with Russia. Have things tailed off in terms of funding and the research dollars since maybe 45 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the moon missions in the late 60s, there was a major push there to get to the moon. Unfortunately, it wasn't based on science. It was based on politics. It was to beat the Russians. There was some great science done there, and unfortunately, we don't seem to put enough emphasis on continuing science research. It seems like the only time things get done is if politics is involved with it.
So, Fred, our producer here on site, Chris Gardner, he always likes to talk about alien conspiracy theories and other life forms. As a guy who worked at NASA, where do you fall on that spectrum of, are there aliens out there? Have they already been here? What's your take?
Well, there's certainly no evidence that they've ever been here. Not that I've seen. Not that I've heard of. I think that the universe is an awfully big place, and it seems like we're seeing evidence of some of the precursors of life. Some of the organic molecules and stuff are out there in space. So it seems like the probability is that life has formed elsewhere in the universe, but we don't have any evidence of that to say conclusively yet. So stay tuned.
All right. In your humble opinion, best space movie. A lot of people love The Martian. I'm old enough to remember Capricorn 1, more of a conspiracy movie then. But what about for you? What's been a really good space movie?
Hands down, all-time best space movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Including the soundtrack, Charlie. You're too young to remember.
Including
a classic.
The soundtrack.
Mr. Eclipse.
It still holds up. I watch that every couple of years. Sometimes we watch that for New Year's Eve. Watch 2001 Space Odyssey. It's still a fantastic movie.
MrEclipse.com, the website. Fred Espanak, who is a retired NASA astrophysicist, and you heard him say it, he's going to be somewhere between Missouri and Idaho on August the 21st. So in St. Louis, we're really, if not the epicenter, though, darn close.
Yeah, yeah. You guys should have a great view, weather permitting. That's the real key here. Let's hope we all have good weather on August 21st.
And does anything weird happen, like the oceans or any other than just seeing the eclipse? Does anything scientifically happen here on Earth?
No, not in terms of we don't get any tides any higher than any other new moon phase once a month. But what we will find is it'll be one of the biggest mass migrations of American citizens in the history of the country, all heading to the central line of the eclipse.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Fred, for hopping on the program. We enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot. Clear sky.
Thank you, sir.
How about that? His out cue is clear sky.
Love it.
That's what the goal is. August 21st. It's really brief, but I guess you got to say you saw it, right? August 21st.
1 to 2% of the Earth's surface. It's only visible from 1 to 2% of the Earth's surface.
And they chose St. Louis, much like Terrell Davis. See, positive headlines for the city of St. Louis. People are right now around the country. Maybe we should go to St. Louis for the eclipse. You know, it's apparently it's well. I don't know. Did you hear the speeches in Canton? I'm not sure we should do that.
How about this on the text line, 855-282-8255? Charlie met his wife at the eclipse of Martin's career on the text line. How about this, gentleman? Fred Espanic met his wife at the eclipse in 1995. And I'm thinking, too, if you're a single guy, single gal, you probably think cosmically, maybe you're into horoscopes and all that. You go see the eclipse. It's a once-in-a-lifetime type deal. You know what I'm saying? You see that special someone next to you, and you strike up a conversation.
Big dating opportunity.
Yeah.
He said, get yourself a picnic table, spread out, enjoy the eclipse. And then when I said, forget Match.com, go to Mr. Eclipse, it got kind of awkward, didn't it? He kind of backed away. Well, not this year. And I didn't know what he meant. Did he?
Well, he's married.
I wasn't saying for him. Is that how he took it?
I think there's a lot of conspiracies out there that Eclipse Day is actually...
Oh, okay.
I believe it now, though.
Not what I was saying at all. Hey, by the way, August 14th, that is on Monday, this coming Monday, 1 week before the eclipse. It's the 40th annual Jack Buck Classic. That's going to be at St. Albans Country Club. Tournament benefits the CF Foundation, Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which is designed to help out the patients. And really one of the big things, too, they're trying to find a cure. And the reason that this event is sponsored by Vogel Heating and Cooling is because their youngest son is dealing with cystic fibrosis. But thanks to the foundation, the Vogel family, happy to report their son leading a fairly healthy and normal life. Hope you can join us. A couple of spots remain for the golf tournament. If you've never been out to St. Albans, I think Chuck was there recently.
Two times.
Beautiful golf course. And it is the 48th annual Jack Buck Classic. Tickets at gateway.cff.org. Gateway.cff.org. One of our great sponsors is Offenburg Hyundai. They're across the river here. Short ride to a great deal. That's what they like to say because it's really only about 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis to get to O'Fallon, Illinois. Offenburg Hyundai, the original Hyundai dealer in this area. That was back in 1989. Started selling the Hyundai brand, and boy, the manufacturer of the Hyundai brand itself has come a long way since those early days. The formula, pretty simple. Went out and hired the top designers, the top engineers, and as a result, they won the North American Car of the Year. Did that twice. Did it with the Genesis, then did it with the Elantra. So great cars, great value. The place to get them is Offenburg Hyundai, right off Highway 64. So from downtown St. Louis, really is an easy ride. It's the O'Fallon Shiloh exit. You can always start the search online at OffenburgHyundai.com. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlow live today. Midday Grind coming to you from patios. Housekeeping matter here. Derek Gould will be here with us at 2:30. A lot of Cardinal baseball to talk about. And Derek actually wrote it in his, I think they call it the lead, Charlie, when you write the opening paragraph or so.
L-E-D-E.
I believe. Now, this is not the writer's block, even though Gardner wishes it was.
He does. He's on the phone probably talking to Hockman.
Hoxie or Fredrickson.
Goolsie, Ben, yep. Fred right now saying, man, that show was so much better when you guys were here.
That's understood. But Derek writes, in the shadow of another low-scoring game at the end of another low-scoring week amid a low-scoring summer, outfielder Tommy Pham last week said he and his teammates were, quote, not dynamic. One of the most earnest and honest self-evaluators in the clubhouse, Pham went on to list the things the team had not shown, such as speed and power. His comments prompted a private chat with teammates. he said, that was, quote, productive. So it was in Cincinnati last Friday. Remember the post-game comments?
Mm-hmm.
We're not really good at power. We're not really good at speed.
Minor things.
And I think when Tommy Pham uttered those comments and everyone read them, you thought two things. He's right. And also, I bet that won't go over well. Because he's still he's been with the organization a long time. But as far as being a big leaguer.
It worked.
Relatively new. His comments prompted a private chat with teammates. But that means some of them didn't like it.
Well.
They have been undefeated since the Famster put that out there.
And
6-0.
I'm not saying that Pham's comments, that's the reason why they're playing well. You knew the Cardinals had to go on a bit of a run. It had been a long time since they had done that this season. But in the same way, the cat is not the reason Yadier Molina hit the grand slam.
Whoa!
It's fun to talk about that.
What?
But look, this team is playing better baseball. We heard comments, we ran it on Fox 2 this week, from Adam Wainwright saying they went on a team dinner. So I don't know if the team dinner was when they spoke with Tommy Pham. Maybe that's different. But either way, I had no problem with what Tommy Pham said, even though he's not one of the veteran leaders like a Wainwright or a Yadier Molina. What he said was true. I'm fine with it. I didn't look at that as this huge indictment of the organization, like he was calling out John Mozeliak. He was just saying, look, and a lot of that has to do with guys on the roster underperforming. We've had a really good week since then. It never hurts to hear the truth coming from the clubhouse to kind of just rattle the cage a little bit, wake everybody up a little bit.
Pham then also told Derek Gould, I should have said it sooner.
He's right.
Like 3 weeks sooner. I think with the premise being that it was kind of a wake-up call. No, I have no problem with him saying it. I'm sure it bothered a couple of guys in the clubhouse who said, dude, you can't be saying that. You know, it doesn't look good. It's like, who cares? Think of this year's season and the moments that we've kind of featured, you know, whether, you know, walk-off win here and there. The Pham comments have given us as much entertainment as anything. His play, for sure. But Tommy Pham as a, quote, soundbite in the locker room or the clubhouse has become a huge topic for us this year. Hooray for you, Tommy Pham. Cardinals are also 4-0 since the awkward Rick Hummel, Stephen Piscotty packing at Kauffman Stadium, outside the stadium. Also 4-0 since the slightly tense interview with John Mozeliak on the midday grind. In fact, I'm thinking about texting him and saying, do you realize you're undefeated since coming on the show?
And that's what happens. Look, players need to be held accountable. Clearly, after that interview, John Mozeliak said, I have to be better, and then look what's happened. I mean, it's not a coincidence, Martin.
Cards win 4 straight over the Royals, 6 straight overall. The Atlanta Braves in town, while the Cubs, who are a game ahead of the Cardinals, the Cubs are in Arizona. So, in theory, you have the upper hand here. You'd like to take 2 out of 3. Hopefully the Cubs lose. It's also important that at some point, you got to get past the Brewers, get them out of the way. If you really want to run down the top of the division, Cards currently tied with the Milwaukee Brewers. In the not-so-heavy rotation, but also fun with audio, yesterday was all about Mike Shannon and the raccoon on the field that turned out to be a kitty cat. But yet Lance Lynn on the mound last night, which means we should go back to, it's been about an hour and 40 minutes, Charlie, and I think the listeners, they deserve it. Lance Lynn, who usually has fun with the media in his unbelievably dry style, I guess. I think last night was even more on the playful side after getting hit in the head. And he's not one of the guys. By the way, some of the relievers are wearing those inserts in their ball cap.
Matt Bowman, I believe.
I saw Bowman show it to Fox Midwest, and then that was about a week ago. Then the Post-Dispatch, mentioned Trevor Rosenthal, Segrist, some of these guys are wearing it, just sort of an insert, like it can't hurt. I don't think Lance Lynn is wearing it, but he didn't seem to have any issues with getting hit.
My hat took the brunt of it.
Where did it get you?
My hat.
Can you point for the area? Cause it looked...
Yeah.
I mean, on the hat.
My hat.
Did it hurt?
No, hit the hat.
Well, the hat isn't a protective device unless...
Yeah, it is. Why would we wear it if it wasn't?
No, that's a helmet.
Oh. Well, I hit
unless,
the hat. I don't know what else to tell you.
Unless you put the insert in there.
Who's to say it's in there?
I know you don't.
Maybe I made my own.
None of the stars were.
Maybe I'm a genius.
Was that a scary moment for you?
No, I just thought it should have been caught. Where's Colton at on the ricochet?
There was no. They were talking to you. It looked like they were.
Yeah,
trying to make
they were
sure
bugging
you,
me.
You had your senses about you.
Well, everyone knows me well enough. No, I never had my senses.
You were not concerned at all about the aftermath of that.
No, I was just worried about getting the next guy out.
Did you have to convince Mike and the trainer to leave you in there?
I was just tired of them talking to me. That's the most they've both talked to me all year.
Did they ask you what day it is?
Yeah, I told them I never know what day it is.
What is today? Tuesday?
No, you answered it.
I told them it was 5 days before the last time I pitched.
And they're looking into your eyes to make sure that you're clear, right?
Yeah. And I stare back in their soul and tell them to go to the dugout.
So awesome. That's his Oscar moment right there.
Right.
Of all the post games, right there, give the man the statue.
When we give out the postseason grinder awards and we put it up on the screen, right, the best clip from that movie for best picture, the best clip, that would be it, without a doubt. And wasn't it Matheny and the trainers that came out to see him? And when he said, that's the most that both of them have talked to me all year, right? Isn't he talking also about Mike Matheny?
Yeah.
Clearly the question was, Matheny and the trainers came out, he said, that's the most I've talked to both of them all season.
And I think he was kidding, but it was pretty funny to see him. You could tell by the body language, when he patted the trainer on the chest, you could tell when they're showing it on TV there, you can see the visit at the mound. You could tell by the way that Lance Lynn was patting the trainer's chest that he was like, I'm good, get out of here, let me pitch.
And if that game had been earlier this year, they would have lost it. Like last night, you had concerns when it got into the bullpen, Cecil, then O, and you said, boy, I've seen this movie in April, in May. But it's different when you're on that winning streak. Some way, somehow, you're going to find a way. And getting Rosenthal in there earlier, we've talked about it a lot. When the game is on the line, you got to bring him in. And Rosenthal came in the eighth. Short work. I think he had four pitches that inning. Then he's able to close out the deal. It's just when your team is going well, that game felt like a game they played earlier this year but would have lost. That Moss ball would have gone out of the park earlier this season.
Right.
It would have been a crushing game-tying grand slam.
But with the way things have gone the last week, didn't you expect them to win that game?
Correct.
Whereas 3 weeks ago, a month ago, those same things happened. You expect them to lose. With what's happened this past week, you're now expecting them to win. It's karma. It's the good juju. When you have the good juju going, things are happening.
I don't think you can say
that.
You
know, balls are going out that before would have went off the wall. Against you, balls are going off the wall that a week ago would have went out. This happens over the course of 162 games. Right now, everything is going well for the Cardinals.
Is the Tommy Pham comment in Cincinnati now the Jason Hayward speech? Is this maybe, huh?
If the Cardinals win the World Series.
Was it raining?
I don't think so. And prior to that, the most controversial thing said in Cincinnati was Adam Wainwright saying he hates Skyline Chili. I thought there'd be more blowback from Cincinnati people about that.
They don't even care. They don't go to the games.
They don't even know they have a team.
You know, I am kind of wondering, though, about the Jason Hayward speech, because I've never really heard it. Maybe if I went and read some articles in Chicago, this has been talked about. But I want to know exactly what he said. So was Miguel Montero on that team last year? Because he's now gone.
Sure. Yeah.
He wasn't afraid to rip into his teammates. So maybe if we now catch up with Miguel Montero, he can tell us exactly what the speech was about. Is too much made of it? Did Hayward just basically give a couple seconds, hey, here we go? Was it actually this great speech that we're all thinking about, like from the movie Gladiator or Braveheart or something like that?
Tim McCarver on the broadcast this year even said, I'm not buying that whole thing, that's why they came out. Now, granted, the players can be motivated by whatever they say they're motivated by. I just don't see Hayward as that guy. We were around him for a little bit, super polite, very nice guy. I didn't see him ever as a rah-rah. He may have just simply said, all right, guys, we can do this. Let's do it. And it was a moment of silence, and he broke the silence. This speech angle,
I can see
I
how
want Tommy Pham giving the speech. If they're in Game 7 of the World Series, there's a rain delay, Pham to get up there and say, so far we've been terrible. I'm tired of seeing you guys play so terrible. Let's get some damn hits. You know he would be direct.
Yes, and I could see Series, but come on, do you really think the Cubs players, like at that moment, they didn't want to win the World Series anymore, and they weren't going to try hard until Jason Hayward just motivated them, hey, let's actually try to win this World Series.
The only thing that would have been better is if Pham was on that team and he was in the clubhouse when Hayward made the comments, and Pham stands up and said, well, you're hitting like 120. dude, you shouldn't even be talking. You barely even play.
You're not
dynamic. I don't know what you think my role should be.
You're not dynamic.
Yes.
You got no power.
Don't you think he would have stood up and said something to Hayward?
Yes, and that's why I love Tommy Pham. I love everything about Tommy Pham. I love the controversy. I love when he says too much. Okay? You know what? We can't rip these athletes when they say something that's, a little controversial, when every other time we rip them for saying one game at a time and for being boring. So I'm not going to ever rip on Tommy Pham unless he takes it just way, 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 way too far, because he's one of the most interesting dudes on the team.
And that's my favorite quote from the Derek Gould Gamer. I should have said it sooner. Although I did note his comments prompted a private chat with teammates he called productive.
But right now, here's the thing. If this was coming from Tommy Pham, who was the fourth, fifth outfielder up and down from Memphis, he wouldn't have this juice. Right now, he's arguably the best player on the team. So he has the juice to say these comments right now because he's going out on the field and he's backing it up and he's having a great season.
All right, one of our sponsors is Window World. St. Louis Window World wants to be your primary source for installation of windows, also siding and patio doors. They have all that material online at windowworld.com. They have replacement windows that have the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, free estimates, 18-month financing throughout all of 2017. So make sure you make that call to Window World and check out all their material at windowworld.com. And you can stop by. St. Charles Rock Road in Bridgeton is where they're headquartered, and you are welcome to stop by. See the merchandise for yourself. St. Louis company since 2003. Phone number is 993-1800. 314-993-1800 on the Rock Road in Bridgeton. Every window you order is custom made for your home. Low cost, high quality. It's why they are the home of the original $189 window. Simply the best for less. Make your appointment at 314-993-1800.